Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Well, Stromer blew into this studio like a B-24 that's been all shot up making a bombing raid over Dresden.
The old, you know what I mean? the old wing was coming back in,
took a lot of flack.
Yeah, but I still had my flyboy jacket on.
But he came in, he had two landing gear down, third one not deploying. He came in on a wing and a prayer.
Some say he saved the lives of millions.
Stromer, not in great shape, but he came in anyway.
And the gift of Marty Robbins that keeps on giving and giving.
Of music that just lifted his spirits up like a choir, like a gospel choir.
That sure did.
And some door talk, some hot prefab home talk and modular home talk and building science home talk.
It never gets old, does it?
A lot to be learned from today's episode. Right. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. They don't give an F. They give three Fs, man. Fabric, fit, and function. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable, stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics. Designed to move with you. No bunching. No riding up. And if you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund with the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. I'm wearing mine right now. That's all I do is wear Tommy John. Great for travel. You can roll them up, lightweight.
Yeah, they pack easy, don't they?
And they dry fast. Yeah. I mean, people don't factor that in, but like, man, you dive in the pool with these things like I do, or you do a little stint on the rowing machine, and then you just kind of fluff them out, They're dried
dry,
up.
Right,
and they're
on ready an air to go conditioner the next in a hotel, they're dry.
That's right. And there's 1,200 retail stores you can go to now as well if you don't want to go online, including Nordstrom nationwide. So step up, Tommy John. Right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
It's time for a new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. ACS and car lovers alike, get ready because February's shipment includes a Blu-ray of Adam's newest doc, Shelby American, with special features you can't get anywhere else, and a signature from the Ace Man you can't get anywhere else. A Chemical Guys Clean Car Essentials Kit, featuring butter wax, streak-free window cleaner, two odor eliminators, and more. And lastly, in your shipment, you may find a golden ticket for you and a plus one to join us at the Corolla Family Barbecue. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month, nor keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry, we will sell out.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the house.
Get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on. Mandy, get it on.
Get it on.
Oh, Stromer's in pain.
Pain. Hopped up on the meds. Got everything going. I got the cortisone yesterday and the bursa in the front of the shoulder. I've got some kind of calcification on one of the nerves in the shoulder from a car accident. I cannot raise my own arm, and I have to hook my thumb in my pant pocket to act as a sling because the sling doesn't work because of discomfort. Brought to tears this morning just getting in the car. But God bless you, I got here. You know why? Because I wanted to see you.
Let me tell you something. And Stromer wouldn't talk about himself this way, so I'm gonna. The doctor said, you may never podcast again. He said, I'm sorry. And Stromer said, just give me the needle.
Just give me the fucking needle.
Like,
right, you know,
and the doctor's
cut me.
Like,
I said, cut me.
Right. And the doctor's like, okay, but you could go out there and never come back.
That's right. And I said, I don't care anymore. I got to be with the boys.
This may be your last time it behind the microphone.
That's right.
And it's going against my, you know, he took a Hippocratic oath, you know what I mean? Not to do any harm.
No.
And he.
But I said, go beyond. Do what you never do.
There's a scene. I think there's a scene in Varsity Blues. There's a scene in North Dallas 40
yeah.
where they went into the training room and they said,
just give me the needle. And was that needle cortisone when they give the boys the shot in the football thing?
I don't know, but whatever they gave them, you took from the doctor because you said, I got to play.
Get me in.
I got to get in that game.
Bring me in, baby doll. Yeah.
Right.
Have you had shoulder before?
I've had many men discuss the shoulder, had the shoulder, problems with the shoulder, surgery with the shoulder. I am the leading candidate for shoulder situations at my advanced age.
You mean like rotator cuff things?
I had a horrific shoulder injury as a young person where my shoulder was out of socket for 4 days, and it was a ghastly, horrible, freakish football accident that was so bad that they literally stopped the game.
Everyone went, oh, like that.
They called an early halftime.
Really?
Sent everybody to like go sit in the opposing end zones and waited for
what was the situation? It popped out of the socket?
I had a very bad dislocation that would not return, and nobody could get it back.
And there, for some reason, the pain and the nerves in the shoulder are so extensive that it. Do you remember the pain? Can you remember it?
I do. I had a very high threshold for pain. Growing up, I still do, really. And I know I have a high threshold for pain. And the reason I know is from going to a dentist with like a cracked tooth.
Yeah.
And the guy just like looked in my mouth and he went, how long's it been this way? And I'm like, I don't know, 6 months, a year. And he's like, ugh, you got a high threshold for pain. Like everyone else who does this comes in that day.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I don't react to it.
But
the shoulder, man.
Woo!
The fucking shoulder. Fucking brutal.
Right.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I laid there in the field. They cut my jersey off. They cut shoulder pads off. And the dads, like, gathered around me, and they just looked at me, and they went like, someone call an ambulance. I'm not going to touch this kid.
So what happened?
I laid there in the middle of the field. With my shoulder, like, you know,
way out.
And it was broken too. And, I was about 10 or 11 and I just laid there and I think the dads just like gave me orange slices and, you know, a cup of water.
Yeah. What else can you do?
There's nothing they could do. They said, and I was just in exquisite, I couldn't be touched.
Yeah.
If you move me, if you moved and, the gurney came out, they rolled the ambulance into the high school and, they rolled the gurney out onto the field and they got me up onto the gurney and they rolled me into the back of the ambulance.
Yeah.
And I remember very clearly in the ambulance ride, I remember the speed bumps in the parking
lot. That's it. On the way here in the goddamn truck, I'm thinking, why is this thing so rough?
Yeah.
But it's just because there's so much sensitivity.
In the back of the ambulance when it go over the speed bump in the parking lot, I was like, ka-chunk.
Yeah,
and
I was like,
oh, it was fucking brutal.
Yeah.
And then I went to the emergency room, and then they tried to reset it, and they couldn't set it.
So what happened?
So they sent me home.
And what, did it go back in?
No.
It's never gone in.
To this day.
Stay. And those dads are still
That's how I get out of straitjackets, like Mel Gibson. It's never gone back.
Wait, what was that? What was that Mel Gibson movie?
I didn't finish the story.
What was
the end. All right, let's take calls. No, Goobus. Of course it went back. I went.
This hurts, by the way.
I went home.
Yeah.
They said, you got to see like an orthopedic surgeon or something. Like we at the emergency room, they taped it to me. They made me into a mummy so it couldn't move. If it moved, it was excruciating.
Yeah.
It was so brutally painful.
Right.
Went to my mom's piece of shit in North Hollywood. I remember sleeping on the sofa because I couldn't like lay down or something. I had to like kind of sit up.
That's it.
And I peed into a jar.
Yeah.
I couldn't get up and walk to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it was, I peed into a jar. I slept on the sofa. The next day, went to an orthopedic surgeon in like Toluca Lake or something. He unwrapped me, which was excruciating.
Horrible. Yeah, I know. I can imagine.
He said, okay, now I'm going to make my move, you know, like I'm trying to get it in, you know, and I was like,
didn't give you any painkiller.
No, there wasn't a lot, you know, back then for kids, they didn't really give you anything, you know, they didn't have stuff for kids. And, he made his move. He had one move. He had one try to get it.
That's it.
There was no second try after that first try. And he made his try and it didn't go.
No!
And I was it was like excruciating. And then he gave me a sling. I remember he was a dick because he just gave me like the hoop around the neck with the thing.
I couldn't wear that one.
He didn't tape it up to my body.
Right.
He just walked me out.
Right.
I taped it up to my body later. Then I went back home. Then I went back to the sofa. Then I pissed in the fucking jar again. And then that night, I checked into a hospital.
Yeah. Who took you there? Zorba?
Zorba. I got in the back of the microman. He fashioned a gurney out of his guitar case. So I went to the hospital that night. I had to stay overnight and then surgery.
That must have been pain management there. They probably gave you a drip of something.
I remember being fairly comfortable at that point in the hospital bed.
Yeah.
And then early the next morning, up and under general anesthetic.
Nice.
Out.
Gone, yeah. Five, four.
Pulled it back. Got it back into place.
Wow.
So, but it was 4 days.
And then you woke, did you come out and you felt completely better or was it still sore?
It was probably sore, but it was quite a distance from being out of socket to being back in socket. And then they started talking about, you know, having arthritis and not being right again and, you know, coming out of socket very easily and, you know.
And still with all the boxing and stuff never came out.
No. I played football. The next year I suited up and played. My parents were like, no. And I was like, fuck you.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
I'll tell you, there's one advantage to not, you know, when your parents aren't parents.
Yeah.
I was 11. I was like, fuck off.
Guys had me sleep pissing a jar. What do you know?
Well, here's the deal. You're not going to make any pot roast. That's fine. But you don't get to tell me what to do.
So and you did it. Did you have to have a letter signed that would consent to play or you forged it?
I got him to do it.
Yeah, you did.
I fucked with them until they did it. Then I played, I don't know, 5-7 years more contact football.
Fantastic.
I don't have any problems.
Listen, I'm telling you, sleeping was a nightmare last night, night before also. I'm taking so much ibuprofen, high strength stuff, and then alternating the Tylenol and the Advil. And then they gave me some super duper one yesterday, which really seemed to help. But God, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
I thought about it last night. Like if you were in battle, say, and you got one of these injuries, you're dead. You can't move your arm. They just stab you because you can't do anything. It's over. Those are the thoughts I have at night.
All right. Let me take one call here. Let's see. Fireproof safe on the floor. I've done that. Hey, Tom, 52, New Jersey.
Adam, how are you?
Good. Stromer's the one who needs the love.
You too, Stromer.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, I'm laughing my butt off about your shoulder because on February 4th, I had two procedures done. Rotator cuff, and they reattached my bicep.
Okay, so you know the pain, right? Like it's off the charts pain.
I couldn't lift my head up my arm up for the last 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Lift it over my head.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, what is weird is I got into boxing and I did work that right jab. I'm left-handed. I worked it and it became a very good weapon for me and very strong and maybe that helped.
Yeah.
Sorry, you got a question about installing a fireproof safe?
I have, I have a large, about 80-pound safe with all my documents in it. And, you know, I'm just worried about somebody breaking in and running off with it.
Uh-huh.
Although, you know, it wouldn't be easy, but they would still be able to do it.
Right.
I have a hammer drill. There's no pre-drilled holes, but I'm sure, being a fire safe, I'm sure I could drill a hole through it.
Mm-hmm.
The bolts or the studs.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern is where there's piping in my floor. I don't know exactly where in the house. I'm on a slab.
Mm.
How deep are the pipes generally?
In the middle of the slab, which is probably 4 inches thick.
Right.
You know, what year's the house? It's got to be from the 60s or 70s.
No, it's actually 2004.
2004.
Oh,
2004.
16 years old.
They put you on a slab, and I didn't know they did that much slab stuff.
And running stuff in concrete, which to me is so bad.
It could be running under the concrete.
Yeah,
but,
maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it's under the concrete, it should be fine.
You're in New Jersey. You got a basement?
No.
Huh. The slab is vexing to me, but all right, you're on a slab, so be it. I'm guessing it's not a wonderful house.
No, it's a wonderful retirement community.
Oh,
and
man.
Living the dream.
Now I get it, retirement community. What were you doing? Were you a firefighter, a cop?
My wife is old enough to move in here, not me. So as soon as we hit the age, love this community for.
You got grandmothered in.
Jeez.
I sure did.
Well, Jesus Christ. Sure. All right. Look, this is solved. I had questions about you being on a slab, but now they say you're in a retirement facility,
right.
No basement, right, New Jersey.
Right.
And now I'm picturing a bunch of slabs.
Yeah.
Okay. There are devices to see if what's in there.
To track the pipe where it runs, yeah.
Track the pipe. Yeah. I mean, there's a kind of a math you could do, like where's the bathroom, where's the sink, are we right behind the toilet, there's no guarantees. You want to sink a Titan bolt into the slab and hold it down?
Oh, there you go.
I was thinking more of a stud so I could lay the safe over the studs and then put a nut on the top of it. That'd probably be the easiest way to do it.
Well, there won't be a stud in the concrete floor if it is.
Well, you want to drill in a concrete anchor, an expansion bolt, a redhead.
And then, correct. And then I could just slip it over it.
How tall is the safe? What's the dimensions of the safe?
It's 18 by 20.
20 inches high. Or high?
Yeah.
No, 20 inches high.
So, because to get a drill inside of it, what you mean?
I was more thinking about, like, if it was a tall safe, you just rock it back and forth. It'd be hard. That anchor wouldn't hold up that much.
Right.
But from what you're talking about, I would limit it my holes. I'd do catty corner. I'd do like front right and rear left. Okay.
Right.
You could drill a hole in the bottom of your safe and then just put two Titan bolts through it and just go right through the top kind of thing with it. Or you could do the wedge anchor version that you're talking about, redhead, stud, whatever. Go down about 3 inches.
Yeah.
You know, make like a 5/8 hole, half inch, 5/8, half inch. You know, I don't know, man. You could just chance it. Like you're going down 3 inches and there's only two holes. And what are the chances?
If you're away from the bathroom, you're not going to probably hit anything. But my question is, in the retirement community, who the hell is going to be able to get the safe out of there?
That's true.
You know what I mean?
These young punk kids, man. These young punk kids are coming from the city, man.
That's right.
You ever see the movie The Warriors?
Sure.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing valuable to steal except, you know, my will and my passport, you know, stuff like that. That's hard to replace.
Stromer's got his will stolen this morning. His will to live.
Replaced it with some pain meds.
All right. Those wedge anchors work pretty good.
Yeah.
They're just like studs. You know, you get the... Get a 6-incher, sink 3 of it into the ground, have 3 inches of stud hanging out, put a nut and a washer on it, drill your, use 1/2-inch wedges, studs, wedge anchors. Use like a 1/2-inch wedge anchor and drill a 5/8 hole so you're not fighting it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's see.
Now I want to see his passport because it must be valuable, this thing. You know, he must look great in it. It's a great photo.
He's an international man of mystery. All right, let me hit Zorro. Then we're going to talk. Why don't you guys talk about building science? Well, this is interesting. I'll talk about that.
Yeah, why not?
FirstZorro.com. If you purchase supplies for a small or mid-sized business, you want to go with Zorro, Zorro.com. That's your go-to resource, tools, safety equipment, office, shipping, cleaning, automotive supplies, including specialty items you can't find anywhere else, brands you know and trust, Stanley, 3M, Prestone, Black & Decker, Schneider Electric, Rubbermaid, all at competitive prices. We use it here. You should use it, even if you're just a homeowner and you want to stock up on supplies. Fast free shipping on $50 or more. So if you buy $50 worth of stuff, which is pretty easy these days, you'll get free shipping. And their customer service team is U.S.-based. So if you have a problem, you need to get someone on the phone, very easy to do. Zorro.com/ACE. That's Zorro.com/ACE. Sign up for the Z-mail and get 15% off your order. So let's get going, man, with Zorro. All right, let's see. Building science. Ryan, 38, New York.
Hey, Adam, what's up? I'm first time, long time. I listen to you guys a lot, and I hear, like, obviously contractor questions, and that's what you guys have done in the past. And as an architect, I just want to know if you guys are interested in building science and how science is changing how we build and how we design.
Yes, very much so.
Because I know you were doing a high performance house.
I was, and then I just found a new house, and it was higher performance, and I just got that house, and I'm kind of trying to put some more performance into it. Solar panels, mm-hmm. and battery backup storage, and you know, things of that nature. But I'm very interested in the science of building, and I was also looking into some modular stuff too, and some some ideas of that. Because I got to say, I walk around my neighborhood, I see there's a couple of mega mansions that they're building. My neighborhood is just 2x4 studs, plywood, raining outside.
It's
like I look at that and I go, what they're building is going to be a $7.5 million house, and they're building it exactly the same as shit boxes they built in North Hollywood I was growing up for $80,000.
Right.
Right. I don't like it, but go ahead.
There are some modular home builders in New Hampshire. I think one is called EcoCore and Bensonwood Homes. Do like panelized systems that will design the house and then deliver it to your site and put it up in pretty much large panels.
Yeah,
it's all built in a factory.
I love all that fucking expanding foam spray inside all the bays, and I love all. I would like a lot of metal stud and a lot of stuff that's a little more synthetic and a little less organic. Floating a lot of steel, a lot of metal stud, a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm all about it. Also, you know, I think people think modular homes are going to be cheaper. They're actually more expensive per square foot, but I think you get a better product, and it's the environment.
Yeah, you build it hermetically sealed, essentially, where there's no exposure to elements before it goes in. I think it's a great idea. I just don't think that the guys that are in the trades. Not only do they not know much about it, but they also are threatened by the idea of having that replace them. You know, so it's kind of looked upon as like, wow, great, but wait, what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah.
So
when I drive around and I see new houses being put up, and over 5 months they're not even dried in. And it's raining, it's the middle of winter, and I'm like, well, you're going to have a very wet house. You already have mold probably growing in there.
Sure.
I mean, what's going on?
Right.
Do they even know that?
I literally walk my dog around the neighborhood, and I see the
sound of flapping Tyvek in the wind as it's just coming off.
Oh, it's haunting. I wake up in a cold sweat. No, it's not. Hold on.
Yeah.
It's not even wrapped with Tyvek yet. It's just got the fucking ply. The ply is all just pieced in, and I see the nails running.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's rained a bunch of times. It's winter time.
It's bad.
And that house is not sealed.
No. Nope.
And and it's a multi-million dollar home.
Yeah, and you'll encapsulate it with drywall and insulation. It'll never dry, and it'll get dry rot and termites.
I don't like it. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I feel the same. I wouldn't want the car I was driving built outside.
No.
And no, I feel the same way. And I get it. And you know what I think a lot of it is? Out here, the folks that do the building are mostly Hispanic, the people that are like doing the work.
Right.
You know what I mean? And these guys are just old school cinder block guys. Like they're just block work, masonry work, you know, framing.
Yeah.
It's an all old school, old country, Hispanic kind of population.
Right.
And it's not Andrew Yang in a warehouse.
No, it isn't.
Cranking stuff out with a robotic arm. And
right.
And for now, it's cheaper.
Yes, for now it is.
And so it's kind of like, I feel, I love the modular idea. I think it's
Wasn't it like a labor, it's a labor versus building material? Because, I mean, what, in you're saving, when you're doing what, in the when you're doing the field, you're saving because it's the labor is a little less and whatnot. But then when you do it in a factory, you're paying more up front, but then you save with the labor in the field.
Right.
And also, but you don't have any rain days.
But right. also, I mean, you have to factor in things like this. Like, I've looked into modular building, and it's like, where's the closest company that builds modular homes? It's
right.
like, they're up north. They're in the Oregon area. And it's like, okay, mm-hmm. how much to build a modular home? They're like, oh, it's, I don't know, $350 a square foot or something like that. And, and then they pause and they go, but it's going to be $117,000 to ship it.
That's right.
Like, you don't exactly. think about right. 117. You don't think about 100K for shipping.
No.
But it's a no. house.
That's right. And the problems I've had, too, is that I'll call the different companies and say, great, my client wants to come see it. And they're like, oh, well, there's one in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah,
we can send you. We can do a virtual tour, so it's like you can't physically.
I've been
feel and see what it is.
If they do the homeowner show and in the forum or whatever, you know, the big space up here. If you go out the convention center, I've been visited these things. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's where we're at, and Ryan, you tell me what you think, Stromer.
Yeah,
lick your wounds over there.
Thank you.
Stifle yourself, but no, I'm interested. We're at the point now with electric cars, soon with electric trucks. I was just talking about on CarCast. Like, we're at that point now, at the range, at the price point. You can get yourself a Chevy Bolt, and the range is 210 miles, and it charges overnight, and the sticker price is $33,000. It's about 10 years ago, this wasn't doable.
Mm.
It just wasn't doable. If you want an electric car, you had to buy a Tesla, and it was $100,000, and
right.
it was a Roadster, and whatever it is. That's where we're at with the modular homes. You want a modular home now, it's like having an electric car 8 years ago
right.
out here. You
right.
know what I mean? It's like, you can have one, but you ain't going to be cheaper, and there's not going to be charging stations everywhere. You have to really want one. You
right.
really like the idea of electric
right.
car.
Right.
But each day that goes by, as more companies get into the game, as more infrastructure gets built, it becomes just commonplace,
sure.
right?
Exactly.
Now, if you want an electric car, it's pretty – we're.
Right.
So we're at the place now where we're just crossing over. Like, if you want an electric car now, it'd be a good idea. It's a little bit of a coin toss. 5 years from now, you'd be a fool not to have an electric car.
Right.
And I think it's going to be the same way with modular homes.
And I think the people that are motivated to get the blue home or whichever brand you're talking about ultimately are behind it because they're buying into the idea that you're somehow more conservationist minded or you know, less toxic chemicals in the process of what they're using in terms of what to build and stuff like that. So I think
less waste and whatnot. Yeah.
Exactly. So you have to really buy in on that end of things before to justify spending the extra money, which it is about 30-40% more per square foot to build now. But that will change.
I like the idea of it. But Ryan, thanks for sparking this very interesting conversation.
One other request.
Yeah.
I know you guys are on your you're currently doing your duet with the gunfighter ballads and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Could you guys sing to me Marty Robbins' El Paso?
Shall I start?
Please.
Because down in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican.
I got this one. I know. This is the first one I know.
All right, start. Go ahead.
Down in the West Texan town of El Paso, I fell in love with a cute little Mexican girl.
I think I fell in love.
We'll see. We'll fight about lyrics now. Keep going.
That's up on the screen.
Okay, wait, I got to get my glasses. Ryan, so far, this is, by the way, you're welcome for your Valentine's sonnet. Hold on.
Oh, thank you.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rosa's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl.
That's a bitch's name.
I don't know this part.
Black girl.
I don't know where it goes.
The night where the eyes of Felina. Wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell.
Yeah, you know what? Yes!
I gotta tell you.
It helped my shoulder, by the way, just for a moment.
Yeah, at some point.
Thank you, guys.
Let me tell you about falling in love with a Mexican gal.
Yeah.
It goes south.
It does.
Somewhere.
Because all these people start moving in that you don't even know were there before.
It starts off awesome.
Like, yeah.
You know what? Find a Jane the American song. Come a little bit closer. Yeah. If you find the Jane the American song, come a little bit closer. Yeah. And I don't know, Gary, how this one ended with Marty Robbins in El Paso, but it never ends good. It's never like, oh, we got married and had a bunch of kids.
Right, no.
It's always, at some point, Jose would come in and he'd be pissed.
Yeah, he's pissed. Well, because it turns out, my friend married a lovely woman down in Mexico, and he's American. She was from Guadalajara, and he did a little number and got some other girl pregnant, unfortunately, and the guy sent all the drug lords after him, and he had to leave Mexico.
That's exactly what Jane the Americans are singing about. He's going to a little cafe.
Yeah.
She's a beautiful Latina gal.
Yeah, she is. Oh, here it comes.
Kind of man, so big and so strong. Come a little bit closer. I'm all alone, and the night is so long. Hop, hey,
oh,
pow,
Sam, yeah. Ooh, look at that hair,
pomade. Yeah. All right, this is going good so far, right? She's hot. She's got those dark eyes.
Yeah, she does.
She's inviting and exciting.
Silky dark hair.
Jose's on his way. It always takes a turn. Yeah.
There we go.
Come a little bit closer. You're my kind of man. So big and so strong. Come a little bit closer. I'm all alone. And the night is so long.
Hey, cha, what? Cha, cha, cha.
Woo! Freestyle strummer.
Ba bo ba 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 boo.
With a little Spanish flair, please. Yeah.
Carnitas. Look at that, Dan.
Oh, here's where it takes a turn.
Yeah.
They say, man, you know you're in trouble plenty.
Oh, boy.
Jose's on the scene.
Yeah, he is.
Drop that drink from my hand.
Hi.
And through the window I ran. And as I ran away, I could hear her say to Jose, yeah, yeah. Come a little bit closer. I'm kind of man.
Ha!
So big and so strong. Come a little bit closer. I'm all alone.
Strummer. Hey! Hey! Cha cha! Chihuahua!
Oh. Now listen, Fondelier.
So what happened?
If I was your dad, back when you were dating that gal south of the border, I would have sat down with you and played you this song and explained how things work over there.
It's actually shocking to me that I had never heard this song before. Gary's back here singing. I'd never heard it, but I lived it.
So what happened, Matt?
Long-term girlfriend.
I know, but did he come after you? Your version of Jose?
I've been on the run ever since.
See, I know. That's why he's always in black.
That's right.
What happened at the end with Marty Robbins? Because it always turns south with the Chiquita
really
Senorita.
Does.
Yeah, it doesn't go well.
No,
what happened? I want to know what those last stanzas were. It starts off awesome, and then it just goes south.
You know,
something is dreadfully wrong. For I feel a deep burning pain in my side. Yeah. Though I am trying to stay in the saddle, I'm getting weary, unable to ride. But my love for Felina is strong, and I rise where I've fallen. Though I am weary, I can't stop to rest. I see the white puff smoke from the rifle.
Ooh.
I feel the bullet go deep in my chest. From out of nowhere, Felina has found me, kissing my cheek as she kneels by my side, cradled by two loving arms that I'll die for. One little kiss, then Felina goodbye.
But wait, who shot him?
Jose. Jose was dating Felina and the other chick.
Jeez.
And he had a long rifle.
Not good. It's bad is what it is. Matt, thank God you're out from under that. The weight of that thing.
Barely made it out of there.
Jeez.
All right, I got line. Is that line three? Is this Ryan?
Already spoke to me about.
Oh, I already talked to you about that. Yeah,
but line three is also Ryan.
But it's not lit up. No, line three fell off. Okay. All right, do a little business there, Stromer.
Well, I got to ask you something. Do you rent or do you own your home? Sure, you do, and I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Now, Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. Now, it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It is Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Please make sure you look at Geico, Geico, Geico.
Flipped around a timely jam today.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I know a little something about that now.
I was actually telling Ozzy to do it. Yeah. So what it was, and what you guys should know is it was a door that swung in.
Yeah.
As you faced it, the hinges were on the left and it went in.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I want the door to swing in, but I want the hinges on the right. And he was like, no, take it, no.
Yeah.
And he was explaining to me that if we turned it around, if we just turned the whole jam around, then the door would swing out on the right, not in. And I was trying to explain to him, you can flip the timely door upside down and snap it back together.
Put the bottom on the top.
And he was just like, no, it's not going to. And I said, no. I said, flip it over.
Yeah.
First off, Gary.
When
I'm talking to retarded people about building, you do understand that I'm not being nonsensical. Like, I'm staring at the door. I'm not going, make it swing inside, even though that's impossible, because if you just flipped it around, it would swing the other way. There is
logic.
I'm saying, everyone, factor in what I know. If I'm telling you to do a timely door jam and I'm saying swing it in and I've hung 1,000 timely doors and
I'm
10 times smarter than you,
but you know
factor
what?
In that I know something.
You know what we have to take into consideration with Ozzy? He's being hunted right now by his lover's boyfriend.
Jose.
Always.
Yeah. So I go swing it around, turn it over, and he's like, no, the hinges are on the wrong side. And I'm like, no, turn it over and swing it around. I came back the next day. It's like he hadn't touched it. And I like, why didn't you swap this around? He goes, it doesn't take it to work, but it's taking its hinge. I take it to hinge. I said, flip it over and do it. He's like, take it. I said, give me a goddamn tape measure. He gives me a goddamn tape measure. I measure from the top of the jam down to the top of the hinge mortise, 9 inches. Yeah. I then throw it on the floor. It's nine inches.
Identical.
I then go to the strike side where the indentation of strike
same
plate
height.
Is 30, 40 inches from the floor, now up to the ceiling, 40 inches. It's all in the middle. Now fucking flip it over. It'll snap together. And he's like, okay. And I showed up the next day and it was like, pow, it's there.
And what did you do then? Just go,
I don't like the ritual I have to go through with everything. This sort of period where I have to talk people into my ideas. Yeah. I don't like that part.
Yeah.
If I said it, then that probably means it's probably going to happen. Yeah. I've considered this.
Yeah.
Believe you me, if this was a regular door,
yeah.
and I was looking up at the top hinge.
Yeah.
And the top hinge was 7 inches away from the top, and I looked down to the bottom, and the bottom was 11 inches away
you
from
realize
the bottom.
This, yeah,
I wouldn't
it doesn't
go
work.
Flip it
right.
over.
Right.
I'm looking at the same distance from the right. top and the bottom. I'm also looking at the strike plate in the middle of the jam.
And see, that's a great design with Timely that you can do that.
Why wouldn't they do it that way?
Because, why wouldn't they do every door that way, I wonder?
You mean like...
Everything's exactly centered. All hinges are centered everywhere. Why wouldn't they do that? That's a great idea. But they never do.
No, you're talking about like pre-hung, slabs
yeah.
that are mortised or
yeah.
whatever it is. I don't know, because you can literally... Now, I know you like to sink the screws to the middle of the jam.
Yeah.
With a big square washer
that's
on
right.
it.
That's right. You'll never, I'll never live it down.
No.
No.
You literally take a flathead screwdriver, yeah. pop off the molding,
yeah.
the casing,
yeah.
back out a couple of tech screws
right.
from the side,
yeah.
fucking pull the thing apart, take it apart, stick it back together, and slam it right back in, and you can have the door swing
I
out.
Think people,
you can have it swing
people,
in.
People are afraid of steel. Guys that I know that frame are freaked out by steel unless they've done, you know, commercial.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And I think that's it. You've done a lot of these warehouses. You know, you're comfortable in it.
I did TI work, not the wrapper, tenant improvement work.
The one that invented that app, right?
Yeah, I did.
By the way, we should probably have the auto-tune when we do some of our numbers just in case we haven't warmed up.
I don't know, and you're
or do
always
you think we
pitch
need
perfect.
It. We kind of are. You're right. Sorry.
There's a gritty kind
of
Janis
Joplin.
I'm
so grateful
Joplin.
That Ryan asked us to sing. It's getting out there. The people know our passion.
Yeah, our real passion is
they really
singing.
Do. Thank you.
I did TI work. I did tenant improvement work when I was working.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to have this cavalcade, this smorgasbord of experiences. I was lucky enough or unfortunate enough to do earthquake rehab work,
right.
which is a bitch, but I now understand hold downs and
yeah.
all threat and epoxy
yeah, yeah.
and all that. And I know the science by basically shear walls. And all. I know right. all the earthquake stuff.
Right.
I did earthquake work. I did residential remod, kind of rough right. stuff, foundation and stuff. I did a lot of finish in that world. I worked at a cabinet shop, did tons of laminate work. So
closets.
No. This is a cabinet shop in Chatsworth, and I did a ton of laminate work.
Yeah. But what was the closet place called?
That was always Better Closets, ABC. That was closets. That was a full Euro shop.
Yeah.
No laminate.
No.
Pre-stuff, melamine, Cortron.
Those
edge banding,
yes.
multi-hole drillers,
yeah.
Euro hinges, yeah. 35-millimeter system.
Bloom.
Right. I learned all of that shit.
Yeah. By the way, did you know that all the IKEA stuff has Bloom hardware?
I did not know
that. A lot of people are now buying boxes and then buying their own custom doors because the IKEA stuff's so much cheaper. It's a great tip.
Mm.
But you can get your own doors and customize up that stuff, and it's still the same stuff high-end cabinets use.
You buy the IKEA boxes,
and
then
order
the doors. Order
the doors, yeah.
So, yeah, it's all on the 35-millimeter system.
Yeah.
The holes that they drill for the Bloom hinges or the mortise hole, whatever, it's a 35-millimeter hole. I
right.
think it's like inch and a quarter, inch and three-eighths or something. Like. There's an American version of work for that.
Right.
I think the multi-hole drillers are spaced out 35 millimeters. It's all on this 35 millimeter system. Mm. I worked panel saws
yeah.
when I worked there.
Yeah, yeah.
I work multi-hole drillers. I work edge banders.
Yeah.
I work the Bloom.
So you've done the mass production stuff. See, and that's why you have all that information.
We went and built a big TI project or medium-sized tenant improvement project in a fucking box factory in Gardena, and that's where we did some metal stud. And
yeah.
So I learned about metal stud.
So if you were going to build your own home, would you do everything in metal, in steel studs?
I would. I'll tell you the thing about steel stud. You know, people don't think clearly. They think about working with wood and sinking a nail and using a nail gun, a framing gun, mm-hmm. or toenailing, pop, or mm-hmm. whatever, you know, and they like that. I get it. Think about here's just a couple things to think about. First off, all the steel studs are punched out high and low, so you can pull as much fucking conduit or PEX or whatever
which
the
is
fuck
huge
you want
time
through
saver.
It. I mean,
huge.
Those guys, they fucking frame the whole thing in. They got a goddamn 2x4. The guy's got the Milwaukee D-handle hole hog over there at the fucking inch and a half auger bit. He's working it through the fucking thing. You hear the wood cracking.
Undermining most of the framing anyway.
You hear
you
the fucking
that.
Wood cracking. Yep. I had a house from the 20s, what are up in the hills, fucking floor sagging or something. You just go downstairs, you see the little cricket wall, the little cripple wall. It's got a 2-inch hole going through there. Of course, the fucking 2x4 just snapped.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, you, can you know you how get, long can you you're get, 16 on center right. and you got a 2x4 or yeah, 2x6 yeah. wall and you got to do a 20-foot run of PEX? You're fucking there just drilling, making a mess. And also think about these studs. They just come in fucking bundles.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can get up 100 of these things in the back
and
of a fucking
exactly SUV. And they're all exactly the same size.
And they're all true.
Right.
There's no deflection
now,
in
now
them.
Now, can you get the same solid feel that you can get in a well-framed, well-constructed wood frame home with steel studs? You know what I mean? How office buildings, you touch the wall and it kind of feels a little janky. Can you get that solid feeling?
I would... The answer is sort of yes and no. Like, yes, you could go with a metal stud. You could insulate. You could go with that quiet rock, you know, like a 5/8 right. quiet rock or even double up the whatever or shear wall it or whatever. But, like, I think when you go with the quiet rock and you insulate or you do good quiet rock and good mud and tape job and stuff, it's pretty solid. Yeah. I kind of get what you're saying. Look, they're not – those kind of studs aren't bearing.
Right.
So you have to do your mainframe out right. of steel, out of orange steel or the primered stuff, the thicker right. grade stuff. And then you have to go in between with this shit. But right. I don't know.
And just, it won't just burn. The, it won't burn. That's the other thing. It won't
just for
burn.
The, just for the fucking holes alone.
Yeah.
Pulling that.
I would think about doing my own home in the steel next time.
Well, what about termites?
Nothing.
What about mold?
Nothing.
Right. What about just truing? What about deflection? I mean, you see studs. Like, I got fucking stud walls where it's like you can see it dip in. And yeah. It's an 8-foot, 10-foot fucking 2x4. It's not going to be perfectly straight.
No, it's imperfect.
It's imperfect.
Yeah.
Like you are, but we love
well, yeah,
you.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, you love you have lumps and all. Am I right?
That's right. I think it's warts and all.
That's
but,
right.
And I hey, think, San Antonio. I think it's, is it venereal warts and all?
Yeah, it's venereal warts and all.
I think
yeah.
that's what
yeah.
it is.
I love you, venereal warts and all.
Steve, San Antonio.
Actually, that was part of my marriage vow. Miss Amy said, I love you, venereal warts and all. I do. Go ahead. Sorry.
Hey, no worries. Real quick before I get to my question, you telling that story about slipping your door jam. My wife, when she bought the house we're living in, I was in another state, so I didn't get to do the walkthrough. And there was this this linen cabinet upstairs where the door opened inward, and she... My wife did. I had nothing to do with it. She made them turn it around so that the door opened outward, because if it opened inward, then you couldn't even use the closet because the door took up so much space. So I thought that was really cool of her to do.
Yeah, that's a keeper. Are you on a speakerphone,
yeah,
Steve?
For sure.
Are you on a speaker?
Yeah.
All right, hop on the
headset.
Do I
sound like Mason?
It's a little bit. All right, go ahead. Yeah,
that's
there
it.
You go. What's going
on? Sorry about that. Right. Okay, so I have a rental property, and mm-hmm. we're trying to get it rented. And before we rent it, I want to clean up the copper sink because, mm-hmm. you know, it's tarnished. It's a 3-year-old copper sink or whatever. So do you have any tips on how to get all that tarnish off of that sink and make it all shiny and lovely for my rental uses?
And they have all this Tarnex-y stuff and stuff that does that. And I'm thinking scotch pad.
Yeah,
you know,
really fine, the finest grade steel wool you can possibly have, and some of the product that Adam's talking about will do it. And then don't run any water until you finish showing it.
Oh, just none until
yeah,
I'm
just,
done.
Just
doing
leave
it.
Okay. Like, don't even touch it because it'll start to oxidize really quickly.
I'm not an expert, but you might be able to wax it when you're done.
Yeah, or like some kind of a clear coat idea, yeah.
I'm not even thinking about clear coat. Like, I'm thinking about just pure carnauba.
Yeah, because you're just trying to keep the air off it. That's all it is, really.
Just like when you're done getting it where you want it,
yeah.
Take just some like automotive carnauba in a pan, yeah. Just buff it up.
I think that's a great idea.
It's going to look good. I don't know how long it's going to hold, but right. It's going to look.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gary, look that up. Has anyone ever taken wax? I used to wax my refrigerator and wax my oven and shit because I had automotive paint on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Did that work? It worked out?
Yeah. It's like a car hood.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
You had them spray the panels in a body shop, right?
Took them to automotive body shop.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. People were like, how's that going to work? And I go, I know. I've seen painted DeLoreans.
Yeah.
DeLoreans is stainless steel.
How does it look when it's painted, the DeLorean?
Looks like a car that's painted red.
Yeah.
You just use the right primer.
Yeah.
To keep the patina, carnauba wax and specialized combo, are your best bet.
Look at that. See? Why do people question your genius? Why, I wonder? Why?
I think that people think we're on the same footing. Like, Ozzy is driving a pickup truck that looks like Fred Sanford would go, I got an image. I got an image. And he, lives in some crappy apartment and he begs me for work.
Right.
But when we're talking about building, we're exactly even.
Yeah, right.
I have the same relationship with my wife and kids. Like, we're exactly even, although... You should be factoring some of me into that.
That's right. But Ozzy's a good craftsman, isn't he? At the end of the day, does he do good finish stuff?
He's good for certain things, but he's not really. Yeah. The thing about the Latino guys I have learned is not really with this specific finish, like really high-end finish.
Yeah.
Much better with the masonry, the paint, the stucco, that.
Yeah,
that
because they're trained in going fast.
And also they just
go fast.
The
and
aesthetic
get it
is weird. Like,
it's different aesthetic.
I had an old house from the 20s up in the hill, had a really cool like 20s type of stucco on it.
Yeah.
I had to bust open an outside stucco and repair some plumbing or something. I told Ozzy to patch it up. And he just finished it off with a sponge trowel, so it looked like a 70s apartment building. So you see this big, rolling, cool stucco finish, and then this one piece of 70s sponge stucco in the middle.
Yeah.
So I had to explain to him that aesthetically that wasn't what I was looking
for. Well, yesterday, as a matter of fact, my guy said...
We ground it down, by the way.
My guy said to me yesterday, hey, instead of removing these posts, we're going to just sand them so that they look, we'll take the paint off and then stain everything look the same. I said, it's dug fur, it's filled with termites and rotting. No, we're going to start over and do pressure-treated posts everywhere. Mm-hmm. So to your point, it's like, let's just get it done.
Yeah,
who cares?
Can't see it from my house.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let me hit 8 sleep research. We'll show you just how important sleep is. I'm on my 8 sleep pod. It is awesome. The pod
it wakes
sleep.
You up, doesn't it? Gently.
Gently wake you up through temperature, not through that buzzer that's going off.
No.
You know, they say being born is traumatizing.
Sure.
All of a sudden
you're just in the cold room. Yeah.
And being born is like, it's shocking.
That's right.
I feel that way every single morning when I wake up
out of your beautiful mom's metaphorical vagina.
With 8 sleep now, I have my doula and I'm in a tub of warm water, in that stark operating room with the forceps.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's what the pod by 8 sleep is like. Just like a doula, just welcoming you
into the warm water. Saline water. That's it.
That's right.
That's right.
Even has, it's a thermal alarm. That's right. And you can do it with warm or cold. Either way, it'll wake you up.
Yeah.
94% of people who sleep on the pod sleep better. That other 6% are liars. Or maybe they're still asleep.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably like, get up. Yeah. We got to do a survey. Yeah. And like, I can't get up.
Still drunk.
Still asleep. Yeah. No, you're not drunk. You're asleep because you got the pod, you goofball. And right now, you get $150 off plus free shipping at 8sleep.com/ace. That's EIGHT. 8sleep.com/ace. It's a game changer. It'll change your life, people. All right. Adam up here, my namesake's got a question. Adam, 37, San Diego.
Nope, still Steve from San Antonio.
Oh, wait. Oh, I hit the wrong one. Sorry. I hit six. I got to hit six. Six, Adam.
Hey, Ace Man, get it on.
Hey, man, get it on. What's going on?
My lucky day.
Yeah, man.
Talk to Ace Man, and I'm also a big Marty Robinson as well, if you can believe that.
Yes.
You're 37.
He was touched by our ballot.
Jeez, your dad must have been into Marty Robbins.
That's true. My dad and my dad's dad. So,
oh,
yeah,
you
I
know,
got lucky.
Marty Robbins was a race car driver as well.
Really?
Marty Robbins raced cars.
Jeez.
Raced on like dirt, oval, like half mile tracks and shit. Huh. He was a race car guy. Big race car guy. I guess we know more about Marty than we thought.
Yeah.
Hey, anyone listening?
Oh, there he is. Look at him.
We're looking at Marty Robbins driving in like
a
NASCAR.
Is that a Charger?
Looks like a Dodge. Anyone listening in the trades right now for Stromer, if you got a caulking gun and you got some Alex's Painter caulk in it, or maybe it's siliconized, or maybe you got some subfloor adhesive or some liquid nails, just give a little shout out for Stromer. You know what I mean? Just like how Snoop would dump a little of the 40.
Squeeze a tiny bit of...
Squeeze a little rope out.
Just a little bit out.
For the brother.
Drop it down.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I just want to say also, I just watched Uppity on Sunday. I really loved that. It was a great story.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you watched that movie. Spread it around. Tell your friends. It's up on Netflix, my latest doc. Now, did you see Shelby American and the 24-Hour War as well?
Not yet. You know, I really have a hard time watching movies because I work night shifts, so I'm kind of having a hard time getting a lot of screen time in.
Well, I'm glad you
I'm looking to watch them soon, though.
I'm glad you like the Uppity, and now you can watch the other two movies as well. And anyone who wants to, if you want a Blu-ray with some extras and stuff, you can go to Chassis, chassy.com and pick that up. But go ahead and ask your question, Adam.
All right, so yeah, you know, I'm looking to possibly get into working in the trades. There's a couple of schools down here that offer like some certificates to get into the trades, and most of the popular ones seem to be like a welding certificate, electrician certificate, or HVAC certification. And I was wondering which one do you think would be best off for the future employment and for becoming your own boss or starting your own business?
I think HVAC is where the money is for sure.
It's going to be kind of hard to automate HVAC. And also, HVAC is one of those things where it's like a constant maintenance.
It is.
A constant. And when it goes on the fritz, I mean, you know, the IT guy, like the tech guy, like when the TiVo stops working, you're like, just put your dick through the mail slot.
I'll pay anything.
I'll suck it before you even come in the house. When it's the dog days of summer and the HVAC goes on is on the fritz, that's...
The wife's glaring at the husband.
Oh, my God.
Just, please make it work. Yeah. I think that's
and
it.
And that HVAC guy's like, And that guy's like, I'm going to put the thermostat in myself. And then it screwed up. She's pissed. And then they'll pay anything to get you over there. Yeah. So I like HVAC.
And it's also, they lock out everybody that's in general population to even buy parts in the HVAC business. So it is protected by this sort of unspoken thing that you can't buy parts unless you're a real guy that does it. So I think protected. Yeah. Mm. You can't go to most HVAC places if you don't have an account.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Another exciting episode in the books.
Yeah. And thanks for getting me through this painful day. And I appreciate it. Laughter is the best medicine.
Well,
am I right?
I agree. And, you know, singing about white guys that got shot by Mexican guys.
And the fact that our beloved Ryan was the first to really identify the passion that lives within.
Yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
We don't need any of that IT auto-tune or TI.
Unless we want to do sort of a up-tempo modern feel to just have that sound. You know, but we don't need tuning.
That's how I separate the wheat from the chaff. You know, I just go up to strangers and I go, T.I., what's that mean to you? If they go Tennant and Brumman, I go, we're in.
Yeah, that's
right.
They
go, it's a rapper.
You're done.
With the auto tune, I'm like, we're out.
Yeah, we're
done.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. Go hang out with your best friend, DJ Cal, and point at the ceiling. I'm going to be at the
what
man
is
over
he,
here.
I still don't know what
Nobody
he does.
Nobody
he does.
He doesn't know
what
he does.
Okay, good. But he does do a lot of pointing. You're right.
Well, listen, he's the best at whatever he does. It's unclear.
There's no question.
It's unclear what he does, but we know he's the best.
That's right.
All right, you can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. Cleveland coming up February 27th, Hilarities, and then February 28th and 29th. Indianapolis doing shows
there. You're
going to
see my mother-in-law, obviously.
Oh, yeah. We'll make passionate love to her.
Finally.
And go to amcarolla.com for all the live shows. And not Taco Bell material, the stand-up special. You can get that at Chassis and other places. I don't know, iTunes or whatever. And I'm your emotional support animal, available for pre-order right now. Get that. And it's coming out soon enough, but you can pre-order it at Amazon. Click through our link. Stromer.
I'm going to try not to stay hooked on Norco's. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I don't want to have to call Drew. Oh, yeah. Two awesome new true crime podcasts.
Oh, that's a good show, by the way.
Cold Case Files on Podcast One and Autopsy as well. Subscribe on Podcast One if you like. And until next time, I'm Curl for Stromer. Stay. Mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com.
This is Corolla Digital.